Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to set up late. Wish we'd get a hold of that. To eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. There's nothing like sleep. Isn't it amazing how God can let you sleep night and just refresh your mind, let your mind, your brain shut down and give you sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Thank you for standing this morning. I appreciate you that are testifying. If this wasn't so pressed on my heart, I'd just run, sit down, and let y'all shout her out this morning. But I'm sort of like some more that stood. I got a generation on my heart this morning that's got in the bed with me. The Bible said children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Father, I wish You'd help me this morning. And Lord, if You don't want me to preach this message, I pray You'd put that on my heart bigger than preaching. I'm going to thank You for these that stood and proclaimed You. The testimonies we've heard, I want to thank you for the Holy Ghost that's moving in our midst this morning. Thank You for these good people. Lord, I want to pray for these little ones. God, You'd help us now. You'd bring to my mind the things I've studied, the things in my heart needs to be said. And we'll be careful to honor You and praise You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's 5 to 12. And it's probably later than we all think. I want to preach a little bit this morning. I won't be long. I'm going to preach on the mighty man of Psalms 127. Last Sunday I spoke about a great woman. This morning I want to talk about a mighty man and his house in verse 1. He said, except the Lord build the house. What kind of house are you building, sir? He said, lest the Lord build the house, he said, you getting up for nothing. He said, it's vain that you build it. Not only did he talk about our house and how important it is that the Lord build our house. Because you know something, if you're building on the solid rock, the winds will blow and the storms will come and the rains will descend. And the Bible said that they could not shake it because it's founded on a rock. Now, I like what Brother Donald said, the Lord just moving and speaking to us this morning. Isn't that right? The devil can slow you down, but the devil can't stop you. And so it's a cop-out to blame everything on the devil. You've made choices in your life. I've made choices in my life, so now we've got to deal with the choices that we've made. But aren't you glad that failure's not final today? There's young man stood up, and boy, this sermon's been preaching all morning. You didn't even know it. He stood up and said, you know, I got saved as a young man, but I got away from the Father's house. And that's easy done. Because we're all human. I'm going to tell you, Christians, it's a lot of pull coming to you from this old world. The devil loves to show you the nice Clydesdales, the pretty Budweiser commercials, but something about this devil, he never does show you the backside of that billboard. He don't show you what I've seen in ministry. He don't show you mom and daddy's weeping at a funeral home, mom and daddy's weeping at a morgue. He don't show you what your preacher's saying. And so the devil will never ever tell you or show you what you've got. He only shows you what you don't got. And so be careful that the Lord's building your house this morning. Don't think it. You've got enough wisdom to do it. You can't do it alone. So we see this mighty man in his house. But number two, we'll talk this morning about the mighty man and his heritage. Mighty man and a heritage. The Bible said that children are a heritage of the Lord. I want to say something. The fruit of the womb is His reward. God makes no mistakes with children. The disabled children, God didn't make no mistakes. God created them that way. They're not throwbacks in society. They're God's children. They've all been born by the womb, by the breath of God. God put life. Allowed you to have a child. Children are the most important things you'll ever bring up the church steps in this day and this hour. What a great responsibility we that have children in order to take care of them, how God has challenged us to take care of them. This mighty man in his house, but this mighty man in his heritage, God said He gave them as a reward. And you know something? God is against abortion this morning. The old saying, when does a life become a life? At conception. At conception. And there's some 5,000 babies killed in America every day. And people, they want to save the trees and the whales and the dogs. And I know all that has its place. But honey, life is priority. Now, I want to talk with you a few things about this Bible character being a mighty man. First of all, I want you to notice that he used the word heritage. That lets me know that he used another word called a quiver. This word, quiver, you can find it, he says, verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. That lets me know that there is a place for children. Does anybody here know what a quiver is? I got to thinking, and there's a lot of you boys know what a quiver is. I don't know how many of you really are familiar with what I'm preaching about, but I thought I'd bring something to give you an illustration this morning. And I wanted to put it up here on this post to let you know what a quiver is. The Bible was very explicit in what he said. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now, I want to say today, first of all, this thing about a quiver. You'll see that a quiver, it appears in all cultures that use arrows. All cultures. I was amazed when I punched in last night electronically some things about quivers and arrows, how it lined up to the Word of God. And I got to thinking, you know something? This is my quiver. This is a place that I take and I put my arrows in. And every daddy here on the sound of my voice this morning, you have a quiver. You have a place. You have a priority. You have a responsibility to see about your quiver. I want to say that quivers appear in all cultures that use arrows. Number two, quivers are carried on the side or the back of the archer. Now watch this. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Oh, how important it is that we use our quiver to carry the arrows where they need to be carried. Now, quivers are used in two things. One, they could be mounted on the side, or one on the back. Can I tell you something? It'd be a good day this morning to realize that you're carrying them young'uns wherever you go. You ought to be seeing about them. God's given you a great responsibility to put those arrows or children in a quiver. Oh my, how we need this message in our church and in our country. Quivers appear in all cultures. Quivers are carried on the side or the back. But quivers protect the arrows from the element. Arrows are an amazing thing. We'll touch a little bit on that in a minute, but I want to tell you, this quiver, it protects these arrows. It's amazing how bent and how broke these arrows would get if they didn't have a place to be put in a quiver. I'm fixing to run. Now I didn't bring my bow. I ain't gonna shoot this smart. But I do want to thank God that I had a mama and daddy that had a quiver that they'd put me in and they carried me wherever they went. They didn't tell somebody else to bring me the house of God. They didn't tell the neighbor to take me to church. My daddy put me in his quiver, put me on his side, and carried me everywhere I went. Thank God for some daddies that know what a quiver is used for. You'll notice that this quiver protects these arrows. They're very important and they're very vital. And then I've noticed, number three, that quivers are simply made to reach the arrows. Any of you that maybe you've reached and you've gotten your bow and you say, well, where are my arrows? I'm going to tell you, this quiver was designed that I may reach an arrow. Can I tell you, you ought to thank God that He's given you some arrows to reach. I'm glad that my arrows are in my quiver that I may reach them. And can I tell you, mom and daddies, some young'uns in this ministry, they don't have a quiver. They don't have a mom and daddy. We ought to reach out and be a quiver for them and be a blessing. We ought to be a mentor for young'uns that ain't got a daddy. We ought to be mentors for the young girls that don't have a mama and step up and do what this Bible tells us to do, to love one another. Be full of compassion and be a blessing in these last days. Can I get a witness this morning? Oh my, this quiver is very important. He said, happy or blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I want to say that the quivers are made to reach the arrows. And then quivers are made to keep all the arrows together. Boy, I tell you, you're talking about a scattered mess. You try to put you a dozen of these in your back pocket, go to walking through the woods, and by the time you get to your target, you reach back there and you can't find an arrow. Thank God that the Lord allowed me to build a quiver around the house of God to put my young'uns in, and it keeps them all together. Oh, has your young'uns always done right? No, they hadn't. But thank God they in my quiver this morning. I know where my babies are. You ought to know where your babies are and what they're doing. I found out also about a quiver. You can inspect the arrows when they're in there. You can look under the truck, see and see what they smoking. You can look in the tape deck and see what they listening to. You can look under the glove box. You can look under the seat. You better inspect what your babies are doing. Thank God some of you got them in a quiver. Some of you, you don't have a clue where they are, what they're doing. It's your responsibility to use the quiver this morning. Your responsibility. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I didn't think you did. That's why I got me a backup verse. Turn, if you would, over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 1. This feels pretty good. I believe I just preached with it on my side this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1, or Ephesians 6. And let's look in verse number 1, see what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, here it is, Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Daddy, it's your responsibility to be sure that the arrows are in your quiver. We need some daddies to be daddies. Does these arrows have any say-so about the quiver? No, they go where they're put. You see, it's your responsibility and my responsibility. What about growing you? I got one sitting here 25 or 26 years with a big old robust son-in-law, but that don't matter to me. Honey, you think just because he married my daughter, I'll quit playing daddy? Amen. Ain't no way, buddy. No, no, no. I'm from the old school. I'm back in them hills and hollers down yonder. I believe a daddy always be daddy. We ought to always respect our mama and daddy. And we ought to look out for the welfare of our young'uns this morning. Quiver. You got them in your quiver this morning. A place. God's given you a place to put them. Oh, Lord, daddies, you better realize it's not the arrow's responsibility, but it's the quiver's responsibility to carry the arrows. He said, oh, Lord, he said, happy is the man, or blessed is the man. And he says, Father, bring them up. Amen. Bring them up while they tender in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, not only do we see this great man and his quiver, they have a place. But the Lord wrote down that there's also a principle. God compares arrows to children. And I am absolutely astounded at what I found last night and studied on homemade arrows. It's amazing what I got off of a website of a man. I got so excited, I called Brother David in Weedale, Alabama, and he shouted across the telephone. Isn't that amazing? Okay, preacher, not only the place, the quiver, but the principle, the arrow. God used a principle and called our children arrows. I want to say, first of all, that this great man, he must know how to fly arrows. Now, arrows in the hand of a mighty man are arrows that he intends to use. Those arrows are going to go where he wants them to go and do what he wants them to do. Not everyone can make arrows do what they want. Before he can discipline his arrows, he must first discipline himself. He must learn how to direct arrows. He must learn how to bend a bow, how to take aim, how to judge distance and direction, and he must learn how to draw its string and how to keep his eye on the target. Can I tell you, I've noticed in shooting a bow nearly daily in my life, arrows always go where they are pointed. I bought me a new release the other day. I'm talking about 20 rednecks who know what I'm preaching about, and I'm going to explain to the rest of you. And one Yankee. I got me a release the other day, and you put it on the string, and you can mash the button, and it makes that arrow fly truer. And I wasn't used to that release, and when I pulled it back right here, I absolutely hit the trigger and psh. And I said, well, that's not supposed to work that way. And I drew it again, and lo and behold, two went that way. Where'd they go, preacher? They went where they were pointed. You know, I wonder, where are you pointing your children this morning? Now, I noticed about this in this teaching. He said this, you must discipline yourself before you can learn to direct arrows. Boy, it'd be a good morning for you to pour in this altar and say, dear God, help me to get discipline that I may direct others. First time I picked up a bow, I knew nothing about it. And some of you parents, you're raising children this morning, you know what? Guess what? You don't know nothing about it. Tickles me, I hear preachers up telling you how to raise youngins. They ain't never raised one. And don't get on my grandbaby. Now I know why you grandparents are crazy. I am one. So what do you say? I found out in this thing of discipline, there's some trial and error. A person that uses these arrows must be disciplined. And then, I noticed this, not only does he must know how to fly arrows, he must know how to fashion arrows, or he must know how to make arrows. This arrow had a beginning. This arrow just all of a sudden didn't appear in that quiver. Somebody had to make it. And I want to say this, so this is amazing what I found. Not only does a mighty man need to know how to fly, but he needs to know how to fashion his arrow. Arrow making is a long, tedious, and sometimes difficult process that makes the end result more rewarding. Arrows come from saplings. I liked what the old fella said. He said, you go and you cut a sapling and then you peel the bark back. I like that. Proverbs 29:15. Now hold on, you little tree huggers. I got a story to tell you this morning. And I ain't preaching about abusing your young'uns neither. Amen. But peel the bark back, he said, Proverbs 29:15. You can always tell the young'uns ain't never had the bark peeled back. They love to back talk. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And you better know that. He said that after you take and you peel the bark back, he said, then you'll find that straight ones are really hard to find. He said, once you cut that sapling and you peel that bark back on that shaft, he said, you'll find out that most of them's like that. They real straight ones, real hard to find. Now, ma'am, I know you got the sweetest little old young'uns. And I know your little old angels, they got them a little halo up around their head. And not your little young'un could do that. Oh, but you know what? Your young'un can do that. You know why they can do that? Because they a whole lot like you. I found out my little girls, I put them in a car. They had no choice. That's like Miss Sherry, Miss Susan, buddy. They had a drug problem. Yeah, that's drug to church. Every Sunday, that's drug to church. What are you saying, Preacher? But little old Megan done something to Macy. Megan was the sweetest child. Can I just preach 10 more minutes and y'all stay with me? This is too good a sermon. Y'all be thinking about KFC this morning. Megan was a delightful child. She had little curls on the back of her little head. And she'd get hot and sweaty. And little things would be like little bed springs. They'd just coil up. She was a sweet. You could just pop your fingers at little old Megan. And I mean, she'd just stand. And you could get a belt. And you could run Macy. You could run Macy to Ranburn and back, and you ain't touched that child yet. But Renee come out, and Macy went to the squalling one day, squalling. And she's holding her little finger, and she come up to Miss Renee, and Renee said, "Ken, you're going to have to whoop that Maggie." She's bit the far out of Macy. I said, "That baby ain't bit, Macy." So that baby ain't bit, Macy. Well, Ken, her teeth marks is on her finger. I walked in, I told little Meg, I said, "Megan, did you bite little sister?" I said, "Now, Megan, I'm going to ask you one more time. Did you bite little sister?" It's hard to find one straight. And then I like what he said. He said, after you peel the bark back, and after you realize that it's not real straight, he said, you've got to shape that shaft. You got to shape it. And he said, after you've done shaped this thing and peeled the bark back, then it's a process they call straightening. Once the shafts are shaped, then they are ready to be straightened. A couple of methods of straightening. They can be straightened by hand. This method is used on saplings that is fresh and still moist. Basically, you straighten the shafts as they dry. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. They must be straightened as they dry. They must be straightened. Proverbs 22 and 6 simply says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The handling of children. Four areas has got to be reached and ruled in a child. One is the mind. The goal of secular education today, and I'm not against education, is to prepare children to succeed in this world. But it's not the most important. The goal of a Christian must be different. We must teach our children to fix their attention on the world to come. Four areas to be reached is the mind, two is the heart. Every child comes equipped with the capacity to love, to hate, to laugh, to cry, to desire, to fear, and to hope. Parents must instill in their children a fear and a horror of sin. They ought to seek to engage their affections to Christ. The mind, the heart, the will. Parents must command respect, fear, and obedience early. A stubborn child. Oh my, a childish will must learn to obey without argument or the display of temper. Children who do not learn to respect parental authority will learn to defy or challenge all authority. We got several policemen in our church. You know what these kids' problems are? They never had a mom and daddy. They don't respect your uniform. They don't respect your badge. They don't respect the laws of this land. But you know something? It's not the era's problem. Amen. We have a generation that knows very little about the power and the presence of God. But let me tell you something before you leave this morning. It's not their fault.
Amen.
It's leadership's fault.
Amen.
Did you know something? You know how come so many youth has taken over churches and now they're doing things of the world? It's not the youth's fault. It's leadership. They allowed it to happen. You know why your young'uns is running your house? Because you allowed it to happen. You know how come they backtalk you? Because they didn't have my daddy. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm simply talking about raising children the way the Bible said raise them. If you discipline your children and love your children, they'll have great respect for you. Just like what Miss Susie said, sometimes I didn't like my dad. You ain't got to like your daddy every time. But you better be daddy. I had a daddy. We didn't boat about what he said. We going to church, son. Okay, let's vote. The conscience. Parents must lay a good moral foundation early in a child's life by instilling the precepts of God's laws of His Bible. These principal conditions, the conscience, which the Holy Spirit eventually uses as an instrument for bringing about conviction of sin. Straightening of arrows. Now I want to say this in closing. If the wood does not bend the way it needs to be and seems to be hard, then there's a second method applied. It's called a method of heat. It's applied to make it softer. This is amazing what he said right here, Brother Joe. If it is a long, gradual bend, you can straighten it by bending it over your knee. Oh, I can tell some of you sissies. I can tell some of you tree huggers this morning. You out there preaching save the whales and kill the babies, your little pie sissy look. You ever gone down there where that woman's preaching? Amen. Once you think the shafts are straight, then let them rest for a while. If the bend still appears, you may repeat the heating process and attempt to straighten again. Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. All right, what the black preacher said, what's beat time? It means every time he be needing it, put it to him. Beat times. You're raising a generation that's rebellious. Know nothing about the respect to the house of God. You let them sit down there and it looks like a bunch of hogs that slop where you got up and left. Say amen, Brother Buddy. Where's Brother Buddy this morning? How about a buddy? Raise your hand. Don't you get red on me this morning. Lord goodness, you can teach them to clean up their mess. Ain't scared. You can repeat the process. I've heard this a lot. I just can't do nothing with them. I'd hate to tell somebody that. I'd hate to tell somebody I couldn't handle a 3-year-old. I just can't do nothing with them. Do what the Bible says. Look up that word rod. I can tell you what it don't mean. It don't mean Nintendo. No more Nintendo. Time out. Some of y'all need to get you one of these, write time out on it. Time out. There your time out is. Hey, it didn't kill me. I thought it was going to, but it didn't kill me. Boy, my daddy get a hold of me, honey. And he had a saying, boy, I'm fixing to get you and I ain't turning loose you till it thunders. And he brought thunder. I said, Daddy, I believe you, Daddy. I believe you, Daddy. If you don't put stripes on them now, the government will later. I ain't preaching a hate mess. I ain't preaching abusing you. Don't you let me see you abusing your young. You ought to never discipline your young'un when you mad. I like what the old man said, Brother Jerry, about making these shafts. He said, always cut them 2 or 3 inches long in case you mess up, you can do something about it. A lot of you want to whoop your young'un so you beat them down to nothing. You don't abuse young'uns. You discipline. And you know something? If I was going to tell them, I'd back it up. And there's a verse in there. Boy, I wish I'd have wrote it down. Because some of you look at me like. But I can find it. It says, if they go to hollering and a screaming, don't pay them no attention. Boy, ain't it something? You can just spat them a little bit and they sound like you killing them. Hey. The Lord put that back there for you to use. Now, I can't help it. I'm just old-fashioned country preacher. I don't. I can't smooth you with techniques, and I can't smooth you with nice speech. All I know to do is tell you what's worked down in my house. And I can tell you something else about your marriage to help you this morning. You got to want to stay married more than you want to be apart. Or they ain't going to make it. There goes our drama. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that quiver, them arrows is going where you take them. And when you put them on a string, let me tell you something, they always go where they're shot. I can't believe where some of you are pointing your babies. If you dress them like the world and you parade their little hind end up in front of a bunch of bleachers and you parade their nakedness in front of a whole school facility, where do you think you're shooting young'uns to? Where are you sending your young? Oh, you know, the preacher, they got to be, they got to belong and they got to fit and they got to be a part. You better put your foot down and raise your young'uns the way this Bible said, because you're going to regret it when you're old. Amen. Boy, I've heard this a lot, raising young'uns. Daddy, everybody else doing it. Yeah. Honey, if your dress ain't big enough to wad a shotgun barrel, it ain't big enough.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. Yeah, I done, don't be looking at me like, he done say that. I done said that.
Amen.
And I can tell you why the Holy Ghost is in this church, because we got standards and we got a man of God that'll preach to you.
Amen.
This ain't Daytona Beach. We don't need to be handing out suntan lotion when you come up the house of God. Well, preacher, you go empty our church out. Well, look around. Where's anybody else going to sit? Boy, I thank God. Miss Julie, where are you at? Miss LaFonda, won't you come sing a song? Let me share. Sissy can sing with you, whatever. I want a lady to sing me a song this morning. I want to ask you something, daddies. You see this arrow right here? It goes where I put it. Brother Troy, you know what I've noticed too? When I've missed my target, Brother Jerry, I've lost them. I had to go find it. And I noticed when I'd shot, missed my target and bent it, boy, I've messed up a lot of time. I wish to the God of this Bible that I hadn't been so full of myself when I was 25 years old raising kids. Not so self-centered. I wish to God I could have been there with Mama raising my kids. And I did take my kids to church every time the doors opened. But there's a lot of times, Brother Jerry, I could have done without my bass boat or my deer stand. And I could have been down there with them girls with their mama being daddy at the house where God wanted me to be. Boy, God's blessed me with a fine family. Daddy, what's in your quiver this morning? Happy is the man that his quiver is full. Why, in old age, this one may take care of Renee. This one may take care of me. This one may bring me another grandbaby. This one may make a preacher. This one may be a missionary. Boy, in my old age, I say thank you, Lord, for them that was in my quiver. Look there, daddies. Ain't nothing in there. You know why? Because they ain't got no choice. I got to get them. Matter of fact, I don't want to be ugly. But I wished I had some of you young'uns while you're raising them. Because I'd make Christians out of them. Amen. And when my young'uns was wanting to come to the house of God, I'd let them come. And my young'uns would know what Sunday night service was. And my young'uns would know what Wednesday night was. And my young'uns would know what a prayer place was. But Brother Tommy, I couldn't have done it when I was 20 years old. I'm nearly 50. And Brother Ricky, I've learned a lot. But my God, Brother Randall, how I could have done some things different about my quiver. Sister, if y'all sang, I want to open up this altar. Daddy, I just want to simply ask you, has God spoke to you about anything?